Good Friday, we are reminded that we participate in Christ's self-sacrificial laying down of his life, being broken and poured out on behalf of the Father's beloved children. I'd like to invite you to join me in prayer. Father God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the love that you represent is just phenomenal. We thank you. I thank you so very much for your involvement in each one of our lives. And God, I just ask that you would take this message, referred to as Good Friday, but of the sacrificial gift that Jesus willingly gave so that we can be united with you. I just ask that you would speak the words, that you would share what you want, and God, that we can just be glorified by you in Christ's name. Amen. Today we reflect on Jesus who willingly gave his life for our own. Jesus Christ, the one who came as God in human flesh, voluntarily allowed himself to be betrayed, falsely accused, beaten, and crucified for our sakes, even though it meant that he would die and be buried. Even though at any moment Jesus could have walked away from his cross, he chose not to, because his cross was the means by which everything made by him and through him was taken through death into newness of life. What hope we have because of Jesus' self-offering. Today is a day to declare again that we were crucified and we died with Christ. I have a number of scriptures, some of which I will just refer to, some I will read, and we will go through and I will share six different reflections, something that we can think about and ponder. As a reflection from a dictionary standpoint is a thought, idea, or opinion formed or a remark made as a result of meditation. The first scripture that we will go to is from John 18, verses 1 through 14. And I will read this section. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priest and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Just imagine that they felt that was necessary to bring weapons to identify Jesus. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Who do you seek? Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." No hesitation, no question, I am he. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Just picture what this looked like, this group of soldiers and people with weapons and lanterns, and they confront, and Jesus' answer is, "I am he." And it was such a shock that they just fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he, so that if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Pretty typical of Peter. He assumes and jumps in a lot of ways, as we've read many times. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword in its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Ananias, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Each of the 12 disciples was personally chosen by Jesus, and I believe each one of us were personally chosen by Jesus. So kind of wrap your mind into the fact that the disciples were all personally chosen, and I really do believe that Jesus has been choosing people ever since. He knew them down to their core, and he still loved them and included them in his ministry. I think that would apply to us as well. He loves each one of us and includes us in his ministry. Jesus knew Judas would eventually betray him. Now think about that. He knew all along. Our participation in Jesus' death includes our willingness to include others, even though they may turn against us or betray us. You know, that's not an easy thing to deal with, to understand that reaching out to others that we may have a real struggle with. But Jesus did. So the first reflection, how might Christ's love poured out in you by the Spirit move you to include through kindness, humble service, or compassionate care those people you have previously tended to exclude from your relationships? As I was looking at this reflection, the question came to my mind, can any one of you think of someone that this applies, that I have excluded? You might ask God to show you if a name doesn't pop or an image of a person comes to mind. Because I'm quite sure we're all human and we've experienced excluding others. The next set of scriptures is John 18, 15 through 27, and it talks about Peter's denial. And I would ask that you could read that on your own, but it talks about Peter coming with John and following Jesus to the courtyard of the high priest. And we know as we read this, Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. And just as Jesus had told Peter, "You will deny me." And Peter said, "No, not me." But he did. And he gave on the third denial that the rooster would crow. And that, in fact, did happen. How easy is it to say we are going to stand by Jesus until the end? That's what Peter said. When the opinion of the people around him became more important than his loyalty to Jesus. Have you experienced that? I have. It's not a great place to be. What came out of Peter was a violent denial and a refusal to be identified with his teacher and friend. That's probably one of the loneliest feelings, is when we've not stood by a friend or we've denied a friend to others. Part of our participation in the death of Christ is identifying with Jesus, no matter the option of others. And that can be incredibly tough. To identify with Jesus, no matter what others may think. Our comfort is knowing that even when we fall, even when we fail to stand fast in our relationship with Christ, He holds on to us. His love for us never fails. As you go through, and I do ask that you would go back and think about these reflections and these verses, knowing that God's love never fails for any of us. The second reflection, how might Christ's love pour out in you by the Spirit change the way you respond to the opinions and preference of the people in your life? You know, one of the best things that came to my mind is listen before responding or before commenting. Hear the outcome. Hear their full words. Again, the next set of scriptures is John 18, verses 18 through 40, and John 19, verses 1 through 16. I will let you read through those as you go through this message. Jesus was interrogated and flogged by Pontius Pilate, who found him innocent, tried to free him, but ultimately sentenced him to crucifixion at the insistence of the crowd. In this section in John, the high priest questions Jesus, and he wants to know who he is. And Jesus' response is, I have openly spoken to all of you. I have taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews all came together, and there was nothing in secret. So why do you ask me? And a servant or a man steps up and he hits Jesus. He slaps Jesus. That's no way to speak to the high priest. I would venture that's no way to treat Jesus. But this was a time when things were not going well. Again, part of Peter's denial is in this section as we go through that, or as you read through that. It includes the third denial. And then it has Jesus before Pilate in this section. They led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled but could eat the Passover. Don't you find it interesting? I know I do. Everything they were involved with Jesus and all of the falsehoods and all of the defamation that they were giving, they were more worried about staying out of the governor's home or headquarters because they would be defiled, like none of the other things would be defiling to them. Kind of finds it interesting to look at it. What accusation do you bring against this man? They answered, if this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. So when the question was asked of them, what accusation do you bring? They didn't really answer it. They just made a blanket statement that really wasn't an answer. Falsehoods, misdirection are all part of this story. As you go on through these scriptures, Pilate comes into the story and he asks Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? I'm not. I'm Rome. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Pilate is trying to figure out why there was such a roar and a challenge to do him in, because things just didn't add up from where he stood. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Pilate had to wrestle with that. Jesus responds to Pilate once again, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" He goes back to the people, to the priests, and said, "I find nothing wrong. So do you still want me to crucify? Or should I release to you the King of the Jews?" And they responded, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. So Jesus is flogged and beaten, a crown of thorns embedded in his head, and arrayed with a purple robe. And they all made fun, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." And they go back and forth just a little bit. And the chief priests and the officers cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." As he goes down through the story, Pilate again asks, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. For him, there was really no answer that could be accepted, so why say anything? So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" "I have the authority to take and do you in." And Jesus responds, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." He makes it very clear that Pilate's authority is very limited, but it comes from God. He has the ability to make the choice. Jesus, back in this section, Jesus was interrogated and flogged by Pontius Pilate and found him innocent, tried to free him, but ultimately sentenced him to crucifixion at the insistence of the crowd. And that's those sections of verses. Even though his life was on the line, Jesus never ceased to speak the truth about who he was and why he was here on the earth. He was not ashamed to be the Son of the Father, even though he knew it was going to cost him his life. How do we respond again in that second reflection to the opinions and preferences of the people in our lives? The third reflection: how might Christ's love poured out in you by the Spirit be moving you to stand against unrighteousness and injustice in your church, your community, or your world? Scriptural section for this is John 19, verses 17 through 24. Jesus carried his cross, was stripped naked, and crucified with two criminals, with soldiers gambling for his clothes. I want to read that section. "And he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote on an inscription, and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. What they wanted didn't count. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was fulfilled, the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. We're reading where much of this was foretold. And here it is. It's coming out. And it's very clear to what happened. Jesus was torn apart in every way imaginable. The humiliation and the vulnerability Jesus experienced in those moments must have been intense. Imagine the humiliation that he would have had and how absolutely vulnerable he was to everything around him. Our participation with Jesus in his death includes those times when we experience abuse, suffering, ridicule, mockery, and rejection from others because we choose to live according to the truth of who we are in Christ. And who we are in Christ is we are his beloved children. Never lose sight of that. When things are going really bad, when we're experiencing abuse, suffering, ridicule, others are mocking or rejecting us, we're in pretty good company. We are children of God. The fourth reflection. How might Christ's love poured out in you by the Spirit enable you to bear up under ridicule, rejection, or abuse because of the identifying with Christ and choosing to live in the truth of who you are? Are in him. It's not easy when things are going against you. It's not easy when you are the center of being made fun of or rejected. But again, as I stated a little earlier, we are the children of God. Remember, you are that child. The next section of scripture that I will refer to is in John 19, verses 25 through 27. Jesus surrendered the care of his mother to his disciple John. And this is a very touching thing, thinking about Jesus hanging on the cross, total humiliation, total vulnerable, rejected, clothing taken, gambled for. And in John 19, 25 through 27, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold, your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold, your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. We know that to be John. Jesus didn't want to leave his mother alone. He asked and told his disciple, John, take care of mother. Sometimes our participation with Christ requires a surrender of people or belongings we treasure. Our being broken and poured out may involve giving up relationships or life circumstances we value and do not want to give up. That's a tough spot sometimes to find ourselves having to sever ties with somebody. The fifth reflection. How might Christ's love pour out in you by the Spirit, enable you to surrender that thing you've been holding tight to that God has asked you to let go of? Again, not easy. But our participation in Christ's death includes our letting go of everything in this life that may be of importance or value to us. When that something along that line happens, and you're pretty clear as to what God is telling you, ask for his help in fulfilling that, to let go of what we need to and trust him in our lives. Sometimes we ask to let go of relationships or jobs or responsibilities and to embrace new ones. We may not know what to expect or how it will all work out, but we need to allow the door to close on the past, and we need to move on into the new life God has for us in Christ. And it's an awesome life. It's not going to necessarily be all rosy and wonderful in this life. But if we have God in our life, Jesus is living in us and moving in us through the Spirit, how awesome can that be? Sometimes our participation with Christ asks that we take a stand alongside those who are rejected or despised. And that isn't easy either, to come alongside someone that is being rejected and despised. And if you step next to them and you take a stand with them, you just brought all of that on you as well. But that's what sometimes God asks us to do. The sixth reflection and the final one. How might Christ's love poured out in you by the Spirit be calling you to take a stand alongside those whom society rejects but Christ loves? As you think about coming alongside those, Jesus was always working with those that were on the margins, those that didn't have a lot of support, that were rejected. That's who he reached out to. And he's asking us to take a stand alongside those whom society rejects. Love them, not at the risk of yourself, and don't put yourself in a situation that is potentially very harmful. But there's many times that we can stand alongside those and know that Jesus is there. The benediction for this message. Now may the God who sends you sanctify you by his Spirit, keep you from the evil one, and fill you with his expressive joy. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about this message, I want to read the verses that these were taken from in John 17, 13 through 19. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but do you keep them from the evil one? This is Jesus asking God for us. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And you sent me into the world so that I have sent them into the world. For their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus' entire focus was on saving humanity. Regardless of where you fall in the hierarchy of humanity, gender, race, he loves each and every one of us. And his sacrifice was a willing sacrifice. As you read, his prayer was, God, God the Father, your will, not mine. You know what's best. Humanly, he wasn't relishing and looking forward to the experience, but he knew that was the only way that he could save humanity. As we move to conclusion of this service, we have the opportunity to share in communion, to experience and remember what Jesus gave for us. At the table is bread representing his broken body, fruit of the vine representing his blood poured out for us. As we come forward, we're reminded to remember him, to let his sacrifice be a part of our life, that we can look at and appreciate and be very grateful. As we look at reaching out to others, wouldn't we want everyone to experience what it's like to have Jesus in our life? I ask that you take and experience communion with Jesus of his broken body and his shed blood for us. If you would join me in prayer. Loving God, as we experience life, there is so many things that challenge us. Just like the disciples of old, we are human. We make poor choices many times. But we thank you, Jesus, for loving us and caring for us and providing everything for us, including your sacrificed body. I ask that, Father God, you would bless the elements of the broken body and the shed blood, and that we can experience life anew with you and not let this world dictate to us, but we can experience what Jesus has given to us. I praise you and I thank you for all that you have done and for this Lord's Supper, the communion meal. In Jesus' name, amen.